Welcome to episode 33 of Two Larrys and a Mike. I'm Larry Doughty.
I'm just got in from shopping. I'm sorry. Got a little late. I'm running a little late. I'm Larry Bly.
And Mike is...
Well, Mike has become a bell ringer.
Oh, no.
A bell ringer.
Oh, no.
But unfortunately...
Does he have a red kettle?
He's not affiliated with any known fundraising group.
He can't do that.
Well, he has a big sign out beside his kettle, and it says, Salivation Army, hoping that no one will notice the extra letter I in the name. Now, he claims to be raising money for pituitary research.
What?
Pituitary research. Excuse me, sometimes I tickle myself. I think I'm going to tickle myself right now. Don't look, Claire. Not one of your more popular things, by the way.
Yeah.
You've heard the old saying, location, location, location.
And his location is?
Well, he's set up outside a dollar store, people are asking him for money. Thus far, he's collected several gum wrappers and such, and the other day he returned from lunch to find someone cooking possum grits in his kettle.
Oh.
Whoa! There he goes.
That had to be quite the donation for Mike.
So, the usual,
wow.
The usual nonsense from Mike.
I don't know how, but shall we push on?
We will. That was
at least we know what they won for Christmas.
That was a new
muffler. A new muffler.
Man, I'm telling you, that's
all right. It's a time for living. What do you say we check out the December babies? All right, let's see. Some of the December birthdays include David Gates of Bread turning 81. Brenda Lee still rocking around that Christmas tree. 77. Jermaine Jackson.
Can I talk
67.
About Brenda Lee?
Oh, yeah, sure. Anytime.
The reason we all think that Brenda Lee ought to be 115 years old is because, you know, she started recording when she was just a little girl.
Well, that's true.
She had her first hit record, I think, at the age of 13 or something like that. So she's just a little bit older than moi, but she seems like she's been around for at least 80 years in business. So go ahead.
Well, good point. Jermaine Jackson turning 67 years of age.
Good old geranium. I always
like Jermaine.
Oh, Jermaine. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now this guy is. Well, actually, he's more of a game show host, but he's also a disc jockey. Wink Martindale is 88 years old. The old Winker is still around. Freddie Boom Boom Cannon, 85 years old. Singer bassist Chris Hillman of the Birds is 77.
Speaking of game show hosts, Bob Barker is turning 98.
Is he still around?
He is still around.
Don't see much of him anymore.
Indeed.
I think he's hiding behind curtain number one.
He and Betty White are just hanging out together. The 90 Club.
My goodness.
Connie Francis, 84. Dionne Warwick, 81. From the Allman Brothers, Dickie Betts, 78. And Sheila E., man, she can play some drums. Sheila E., 64.
64 years old, and she still doesn't have a last name.
No, she
singer Jerry Butler, whom I love. I adore. And this is another one of those guys I thought was been gone for a while. Well, he's not. He's not gone. Singer Jerry Butler is 82. Flute player James Galway is 82. And guitarist Phil Collin of Def Leppard is 65 years old.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, there was one more birthday this week. Just a few days ago, I do believe that Mr. Doughty had a birthday.
Yes.
Mr. Doughty.
Yes.
How old were we?
65. So I can retire. Oh, women, I've already done that.
You already have retired. Anyway, did you have a good...
I had a great birthday.
Did you?
Yeah, yeah, I had to take one of the cats to the vet.
Oh, that's always wonderful. Day two.
Nice present there.
Mr. Doughty.
Thank you so much. I can't believe we got our birthday band in just to do that for me.
We did.
Because they've been out shopping at Valley View.
Usually we spare every expense, but today, an exception to that.
I hear you. All right, so this time we always, I guess this is our wonderful Christmas time episode.
It is.
Jingle bell, Jingle bell, jingle bell rock.
Rocking around the Christmas tree at the Christmas party hop.
Have a holly jolly Christmas.
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
Just see those sleigh bells jingling, ring, tingle, tingle.
We're going to talk about some of our favorite Christmas songs.
Christmas songs that won't go away, which, by the way, is just about every one of them. Yeah. Once you record a Christmas song, it's forever. Let's face it.
Yeah, that's true. So favorites come in a second, but let's talk about the ones that won't go away. And I'm afraid I might get an email or two with some of mine that won't go away. But one of my top...
That doesn't mean that they're bad.
No, it's just...
You're going to hear them every year.
I'm tired of hearing them.
Oh, okay.
All I Want for Christmas Is You, Mariah Carey.
Mm.
A lot of people love that song. That's not one of mine.
Okay, there you go.
Okay.
You've got it out of your system.
I got it out of my system.
I'm very proud of you.
Christmas Wrapping by the Waitresses,
never.
I just don't like.
I've never heard of that.
Never have. Never will, but I've tolerated
it. Who played
it?
I've never heard of it.
A lot of stations do now.
Really?
Yeah, it's a very up-tempo song. I've never been a fan of Little Drummer Boy by Bing Crosby and David Bowie.
Mm-hmm.
Santa Claus is Coming to Town by Bruce Springsteen.
Mm-hmm.
I used to like it. I don't anymore.
You want to hear songs I could live without at Christmas?
I would love to.
The Barking Dogs, Jingle Bells. If I played that thing once, I must have played it 200 times on the radio.
I get it.
And I didn't like it as much the 200th time as I did the first time. Second, Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer.
Yeah.
I can't even remember who did that, and I don't care to.
Elbow and Patsy.
And The Little Drummer Boy.
Mm-hmm.
Even Bob Seger couldn't revive that one. And I'm all rumpa-pump-pummed out. So there you go. Ring Those Christmas Bells, Peggy Lee, a real ding-dong song. Somebody at the service, music service for DirecTV, last year discovered that song and put it in heavy rotation.
Oh, no.
And I thought I was going to go insane.
Oh.
And also the Chipmunk song by David Seville.
You know, that song... doesn't seem to get on my nerves as bad as some others, but I guess I can. I hear it, but I don't hear it.
Hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Two songs that have stuck around forever and ever.
Yeah.
That weren't even recorded on audio tape. Mm-hmm. Do you know what those songs might be?
No.
White Christmas by Bing Crosby. It was recorded on. It was not recorded on audio tape at all. It was recorded.
Was it recorded straight to disc?
Straight to disc.
Wow.
Yes. And Frosty the Snowman by Gene Autry, and also Here Comes Santa Claus by him, went directly to disc.
Yeah.
And from there, they made other discs. But there were no. We didn't have tape recorders back then.
I don't think I was aware of that.
Well, you are now.
Wow.
I'll just tell you that right now. Yeah. Well, what are your top five?
Top five. One of my top five would be. Run, Rudolph, Run, or Run, Run, Rudolph. Same song, recorded by Chuck Berry in 1958.
Good song.
Yeah, yeah. Written by, this surprised me, Johnny Marks, who's also the writer of Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Mm-hmm.
Written by Johnny Marks and Marvin Brody.
He was one of the Marx brothers, wasn't he?
No.
I'm sure he wasn't. Anyway, I'm just being stupid, which is what I do very well.
Well, it's paid us very well over the years.
Is that it?
No. Little Saint Nick was another one of my favorites.
Mm-hmm.
It was a song by, of course, the Beach Boys, released as a single December 9th, 1963. But the surprising part was it was the B-side of an a cappella version of the Lord's Prayer.
Well, I didn't know that.
I think you and I have talked about this before. Of course, the Beach Boys recorded Little Saint Nick back in October of 63, and it was actually inspired by Phil Spector. But Brian Wilson claims he wrote the lyrics to the song while on a date.
Really?
Yeah.
Man, that Brian was prolific, wasn't he?
Well,
he wrote even while he was out smooching up on some woman.
How about that? It wasn't Ms. Claus.
What else?
What Christmas Means to Me by Stevie Wonder.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
I love that song. It's actually the name of several different Christmas songs, but it's the most covered version. And it was written by a fellow by the name of Alan Story and Anna Gordy Gay and George Gordy. Recorded by many artists, but Stevie was the first back in 67. Another favorite of mine, of course, it's kind of hard to beat that song right there.
Mm-hmm.
Another favorite of mine, this is a new favorite this year, called Cool Yule.
Busy toys. Give the corners up the girls and boys so day. Santa comes on big. You come a calling when the snow's the most. When all your cats are sleeping warm as toast. And you gonna flip with
1953 Christmas song written by Steve Allen. It was introduced by Louis Armstrong. And today, you can still hear it in the 2001 movie Serendipity and the NBC holiday special Merry Madagascar.
Shows up on a couple of my CDs, my Christmas CDs.
I love that song. Oh, yeah, I was not aware of it. But my number one favorite, This Christmas by Donny Hathaway.
All right.
I just love that song. It was released in 1970. Remember Atco Records?
Don't sure
you?
Do. Yeah.
That white and yellow label. Well, the American Society of Composers, Authors, and Publishers say it's the 30th most popular holiday song of all time. Donny Hathaway's This Christmas. And this year, that's my favorite.
It wasn't Atco a subsidiary of Atlantic Records?
I think it was. Yeah.
Well, my favorite top songs.
Yeah.
The Eagles, Please Come Home for Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
Never got tired of hearing that one.
I understand.
Johnny Mathis, anything from his famous Christmas album, Beginning to Look like Christmas, especially.
Sure.
It just doesn't get any better than Johnny Mathis. Paul McCartney's Wonderful Christmas Time. Mm-hmm. Love that song.
Yeah, still like that.
And again, the Beach Boys, you've already named it.
Little Saint Nick?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Nick. All right.
Darlene Love / Ronettes, anything from a Gift from Phil Spector Christmas album.
Sure.
And runners up, I'm from the old school. I still enjoy listening to Brenda Rockin' Around a Christmas Tree.
Okay.
And Bobby Helms' Jingle Bell Rock.
Okay.
All right. Offbeat albums with standard and not so standard Christmas songs, but easy to decorate trees. Manhattan Transfer, the Christmas album. Very laid back,
yeah.
Somewhat unconventional. I love that.
Mm-hmm.
I drag that one out every year and listen to it. And strangely enough, the Squirrel Nut Zippers.
What?
Christmas as Caravan album. They're from North Carolina. You've never heard of
No!
Squirrel Nut Zippers?
No,
you've never heard of?
I haven't.
You're kidding me. They've been to Roanoke at least two or three times, Jefferson Center.
Oh,
I wouldn't miss them for the world. Featuring spirited versions of old classics like Sleigh Ride, but a lot of their own compositions like Winter Weather, Indian Giver, Carolina Christmas, and Hanging Up My Stockings.
Oh.
Well,
I'm going to have to look for that.
I'm going to have to play some of that for you sometime.
Okay.
I would have included it today if I'd have known you hadn't heard of them.
I'll go searching for it.
They be good.
Yeah. All right. I guess it's seconds guessing time.
It is. And I guess you were wondering what the prize is.
Well, yes.
Maybe. It's not really a gift. It's a gift of a song. If you're unfortunate enough to be born close to or on Christmas Day, it's a curse to be sure. So while I'm not giving you a prize per se, I'm sending this little tune out to you and the rest of all your little Christmas babies.
For me?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, gee, but it's tough to be a kid like me. But I guess there's nothing I can do. Cause all of the stuff beneath the Christmas tree
terrible.
I get so mad that Mom and Dad, of all of the days that they pick to have me have, and they only give me half of what they oughta, 'cause my birthday comes on Christmas.
This is terrible. Wait for the big finish, Mr.
Okay.
Why does my birthday have to come on Christmas?
Oh, there you go. That's cute.
That's for you and all your little Christmas buddies in birthday land.
Oh, that's so
good. So you ready to go here?
All right. It's seconds guessing time.
And all of them are Christmas songs.
Okay.
So it should be quite easy for you.
All right. It's Aretha.
Who sings a love song.
And a Winter Wonderland.
Walking in a winter wonderland. Yes, and here's another one.
Okay.
Crowded streets, busy feet, hustle by him.
It's pretty paper. But I don't.
Roy
Orbison? Okay. Yeah, Roy. All right.
Better behave. Get your home.
Ray Stevens. And
Santa watching you.
And try to make good grades in school.
Santa Claus is watching you.
Where those treetops listen. And children listen to him.
White Christmas.
The snow.
Drifters?
Yeah, you got it. You got it. Here's an easy one. I knocked myself out on this one, I'll tell you that right now.
It's a Christmas song and those darn chipmunks.
Chipmunk song, David Seville with the chipmunks, of course. Uh-huh. Here's another one for you.
Decorations of red.
I've played it a million times.
Christmas tree.
Blue Christmas and Elvis.
Elvis.
Yeah.
Big old banana peanut butter sandwich under the Christmas tree this year. Elvis. See what else we got.
Okay. Frosty, the Snowman, and
Run it. You got it.
Okay.
This is a tough one. Darling Love and Marshmallow World.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I've heard.
Then Santa said Jack Frost will bring my Christmas gift to you.
That's Herb Albert and the Tijuana Brass.
You got it.
Just like.
That's the bell that couldn't tinkle. I mean, jingle.
Jingle. I always liked that song.
I think it's a great song. Yeah, absolutely. Here's an easy one.
Okay.
That
has got to be The Ventures?
It is The Ventures.
I've never heard of this.
No. Yeah. This is Sleigh Ride that's done by The Ventures.
Wow. That's good. Oh. Good stuff.
I told you I had some good stuff on this one. I really did.
Everyone, we be all lit up.
That's Louis Armstrong.
Got it.
Come on now, every Jane and Joe. Greet your sweet, neat the mistletoe.
I love that. I couldn't tell you what the name of the song is.
It's called Christmas Night in Harlem.
Oh,
I know
okay.
that the Dowdies always played that. There's one more for you.
Okay.
That you won't get either.
Oh, good.
Because I wouldn't be able to get it.
Hey, Bo, let's go and get Biro and push Paul down the bio. I want to see the Christmas tree. That's all they dodo.
Do I have that look of stumped on my face?
It's written all
Brenda,
over you.
Brenda Lee?
It is Brenda Lee.
Down on the bio.
I don't know what it is.
Believe it or not, it was a hit record for her.
It was
called Papa Noel. Papa Noel, you never heard that?
I never heard Papa Noel.
Yeah, you know what you're missing, I'm
okay,
telling you.
Okay, well, I have to go searching for a few now.
Absolutely.
So, well, it is time to look at some recent music deaths. And boy, I tell you, this list has grown in a big way, Larry, since our last podcast.
What you got?
Well, I've got a fellow by the name of Les Emerson.
Mm-hmm.
Five-man electric band. Remember them?
Oh, yeah. Signs.
Well, Les was the writer of Signs and was also the band's lead singer. He passed away on Friday, December 10th in Canada, the age of 77. Yeah, underlying health conditions following, guess what? COVID-19.
Oh, dear.
Interestingly, though, the chart success for Signs continued to elude the band in 1970. Their single, Hello, Melinda, Goodbye, was a flop.
I'll say, I never heard of it.
It was flipped over on the other side, and they discovered the B-side of Hello, Melinda, Goodbye was Signs.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, you told me something I didn't know.
So there you go. Also, Gil Bridges, an original member of the rock band Rare Earth, has passed away at the age of 80. They began as the Sunliners and went on to record 3 top 10 singles for Motown, Get Ready, I Just Want to Celebrate. I love that song. And Bridges died on December 8th. He played saxophone, flute, and vocals, and he, too, complications from COVID-19.
Good heavens.
What do you have?
Ralph Tavares. Remember Tavares?
Oh, the Tavares brothers.
Yeah. The eldest of the 5 brothers in the Grammy-winning R&B singing group Tavares, whose hits included It Only Takes a Minute and Heaven Must Be Missing an Angel. Just 2 days before his 80th birthday, he passed away. Yeah, very sad.
Wow.
They were a great group. I liked them.
Yeah, I love everything they did. And I guess the shocker was Mike Nesmith of the Monkees, who passed away on Friday, December 10th. They say from natural causes. He was 78. He had just come off the road with Mickey Dolenz.
Yeah, but did you see any of the footage from that?
I did.
He looked like he was not feeling too well.
He did. He really did.
Yeah.
But, wow. I mean, just Mike Nesmith and Mickey and Peter and Davey, they were on top of the world, I guess, from 66 to 70 as the Monkees.
It wasn't very long. I think the show was only on for, what, 2 seasons?
If that long.
Nesmith had written a lot of songs. He hoped to debut on the show, but almost all were dismissed by music producer Don Kirshner, sounding too country. Among them was a song called Different Drum, which Linda Ronstadt went on to record. It was a huge hit for her.
Right.
Validating to Nesmith his opinion that Kirshner, hailed by the popular music industry as the man with the golden ear, didn't know what he was talking about. He was quite talented.
Indeed. And you know, I've listened to some of his music with the First National Band, and Mike Nesmith was so country-sounding.
Well, he really was. He was a Texas boy, as I recall. He was a Texas boy. So anyway, I just happened to rack up on the old computer here. Two of my favorite Nesmith songs, neither of which you probably ever heard. But, one that you did. This was this first one here. Called Listen to the Band.
I love that song.
He wrote this song, and he sang it. And they did a little reverse tape action here, as per the Beatles, about that time. Here we go.
Listen to the band.
And you got to keep in mind, when this was recorded, this was way ahead of its time.
It really was. And it was, I don't think it was a real huge hit for them. I think it was a modest hit. But I remember playing it on the radio. Mm-hmm. I thought it was just terrific. And I liked it because it didn't sound like anything else they'd ever done. Not that I didn't like all the other stuff they did. I did. But anyway, now here's something. Now, you're going to laugh at me when I play this.
Okay.
So try not to laugh too much.
All right.
But many years ago, I have no earthly idea why, back when we were all still buying CDs, mm-hmm. I bought a Rhino CD called the Cowboy Album. Because, you know, I'm such the consummate cowboy. I'm sitting here right now, as a matter of fact, in a little cowboy outfit with my little guns, cap guns on, my little hat, and my spurs, and my chaps. So for some reason, I bought this album called the Cowboy Album, because it had a lot of interesting stuff from my childhood on it. That's why I bought it. But in the middle of all of it, there was a lot of old stuff, but in the middle of it, there was this song by Mike Nesmith, and I just thought it was the cutest thing. It had to do with a cowboy putting his little child in bed to sleep at night, and it's a little corny, but I just happen to think it's a lovely song. I played a little bit of it.
Is it Prairie Lullaby?
Prairie Lullaby.
I like that. And the thing is, country music probably did not play that and would not play that.
And they should have.
Because it was Mike Nesmith of the Monkees.
He even yodels in it. I mean, I'm not a big yodeling fan, but I'll tell you, he does a great job of it. And at the end of it, I should have played the very end of it. As it ends, they stop. And one of them, I think Mike Nesmith says, I thought that turned out pretty well, don't you? Yeah. And they left it on the recording. I thought that was really sweet.
That's so good. You know, our friend Tommy Holcomb had a show on Sunny FM several years back called Retro Roanoke Radio.
I remember. I listened to it once.
I loved that show on Sunday nights. He interviewed Monkey Davy Jones, and they discussed a popular song by the group that ended up being a song for Davy.
Oh, really?
One of my favorite Monkey songs was I Want to Be Free. And you did a great job on that thing.
You know, that was recorded by Mickey Dolenz and by Mike Nesmith sang that. I have taped demos of them both singing it. And in fact, when it started out, I want to be free like the bluebirds flying by me. You know, it was an up-tempo song, you know?
Huh.
And we just slowed it down one day with a guitar.
I wanna be free, like the bluebirds flying by me, like the waves out on the blue sea. If your love has to tie me, don't try me, say goodbye.
So our thanks to Tommy Holcomb for that. I think, too, of some of the songs that Michael Nesmith penned for the Monkees, Mary Mary, Circle Sky, The Girl I Knew Somewhere. And he did an autobiography in 2017 revealing his struggles behind his rock group, such as the struggles with his mother, businesswoman and liquid paper inventor.
Right. I forgot about that.
Betty McMurray.
Yeah.
So
he didn't need money.
No. Did you know in 1981, Warner Brothers and partner American Express ran with the idea and launched a new around-the-clock music TV network? You may have heard of them, MTV.
Oh, yeah. I have heard of them. Yes.
Well, Nesmith.
Are they still around?
Well, I'm not sure. Not what they used to be.
No, they're in a very different form today. That's
but Nesmith was offered the role of production head at MTV.
Wow.
And turned it down because he wanted to pursue other endeavors.
Wow.
So, the only surviving Monkey now, Mickey Dolenz.
Would you like to hear a radio story?
Oh, I would love to hear one, two, whatever you got.
I got two of them. Oh. Both of them have to do with two different artists and around Christmas time.
Oh, good.
In 1942, I know you don't remember that.
A couple years.
I don't either. Well, it was, excuse me, it was before my time too, Mr. Dowdy. About 1942, Bing Crosby had a big problem with his national NBC radio show called the Kraft Music Hall Show.
Mm-hmm.
He hated having to do the show, every single show, twice. Once for the East Coast and another for the West Coast a few hours later. It cut into his golfing time, and it cost the networks a lot of money as they had to retain the orchestra, the singers, guests for the second broadcast, and even a new audience, by the way. And he said it's just lost the spontaneity the second time around.
Yeah.
There being no audio tape or tape recorders back then, it presented a dilemma that Mr. Bing had the answer for. By the way, he was a smart businessman, in case you don't know.
I heard that.
He helped to get the Ampex Corporation off the ground. He had a lot of money in that. Simply record the first aired performance on records, he said. Shellac in those days, 78 RPM records. Mm-hmm. Vinyl records and the LPs were still years away at that point. At first, the network and the unions were very unhappy, but Crosby was a powerful man in the business and simply refused to do the second shows. So they had no choice. They had to go in and actually record these things on discs so they could play them back again 3 hours later. And so it came that on his show, his Christmas show in 1941, he sang, among other holiday songs, White Christmas by Irving Berlin, recorded for the first time for replay to the other coast. The audience reaction to the song was so incredible that Bing went into the recording studio in 1947 to record in an 18-minute session. He didn't waste much time. This man didn't.
No, he didn't.
The version that we hear today, was not recorded on audio tape, it was recorded on disc, where Bing himself whistles one chorus. In 1954, the old black-and-white movie called Holiday Inn was updated to Technicolor with new stars Bing Crosby, Danny Kaye, Rosemary Clooney, and Vera Ellen, now renamed White Christmas, with Bing lip-syncing the version he recorded in 1947.
Whoa.
I'm dreaming of a white Christmas. Just like the ones I used to know, where the treetops glisten and children listen to
It's one of the biggest selling records ever and one of the most popular Christmas songs of all time. And by the way, Irving Berlin, who wrote it, also wrote songs for lots of other shows. Easter Parade, Putting on the Ritz, Cheek to Cheek, God Bless America, and There's No Business Like Show Business.
Wow.
Yep. Isn't that an interesting story?
That really is.
So the first time it was ever recorded, it was not recorded to sell. It was recorded for their radio show.
Whoa.
Fascinating. Second story, Louis Armstrong, the old Satchmo.
Mm-hmm.
Last song he ever recorded was a Christmas record. And it wasn't a song. It was him reciting The Night Before Christmas, as read by Lewis on February 26, 1971. In bad health, and he recorded it on his little reel-to-reel at home in Queens, New York.
Whoa.
It wasn't even in a studio. He was always recording stuff at home. He had, I think, 800 hours of tape they found when he died.
Wow.
In bad health, he would die shortly after of two heart attacks after he did this in 1971. The recording was distributed. Wait till you hear this. The recording was distributed that following holiday season by cigarette maker Lorillard, which pressed it into 1,045,000 RPM records as giveaway for anyone who, are you ready for this?
Okay.
Bought a carton of their cigarettes.
Oh, my.
But nonetheless, one last holiday gift from Satchmo to us, now saved for posterity at the Smithsonian. It still exists.
Wow.
I think they have all of his tapes, too, in addition to all of his records. Isn't that fascinating?
That really is.
I have. Have you finished your shopping?
Well,
Mr.
I've got a couple of things I could still add to it.
Yeah, well. I'm still working on mine, too, to be quite honest. I'm woefully late this year. I don't know what's wrong with me. I just couldn't get in the spirit for some reason. But I have found the perfect stocking stuffer.
Oh?
Just in time for Christmas giving or most any holiday or even a birthday, for that matter.
Okay.
It's a new memoir by Mel Brooks, and I know how you and I love Mel Brooks. Leave it to Mel to even make his best friend's death funny this book. So he was recently interviewed. The name of the book is, of course, All About Me, My Remarkable Life in Show Business. And he was interviewed for it. I don't know where I got this interview from, but anyway, he was interviewed for it. And they asked him, I was the AP.
Oh, okay.
This. Says, do you remember your last conversation with your old pal and best friend, Carl Reiner, before his death last year?
Mm-hmm.
And he answers, yeah, the day he died, I said, Carl, you're eating two hot dogs. And he says, you shouldn't be doing that at your age. And Carl says, they ain't going to bother me. I love hot dogs, and hot dogs love me. But Brooks says it wasn't true. By that night, the hot dogs had done him in.
Mel Brooks just had an interesting look on life.
The hot dogs had done him in. Oh, that's funny. But anyway, that's got to be a fascinating book.
Oh, absolutely.
It is.
Yeah.
So anyway, I'll let you read the whole article.
Oh, good. Thank you. I guess we have a great radio moment here just in time for Christmas.
Absolutely. This happened on the air Christmas Day at WLS in Chicago.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to give our listeners a little warning at this point. I have a radio clip from Christmas Day actually taken off the air with Larry Lujack and Little Tommy, his sidekick.
Yeah, what could go wrong there?
It's a bit risque, I will warn you. So if there's a little one in the car or at home as you're listening to this, you might want to skip this part altogether. I never did this sort of humor when I was on the air, figuring if I couldn't entertain you by being funny or whatever, then right. I probably ought to find another profession. However, having said that, something a bit raunchy does come along occasionally, usually unplanned, and so the listener got to enjoy it. It goes like this.
The cost of providing a partridge and a pear tree along the other fowl and assorted collection of
fruits
singers,
and nuts and birds,
milkmaids,
leaping lords,
wenches, is $7,856.
That's a lot of bread.
Well, it's 20% cheaper than it was last year.
Is
it was
right?
Up to almost $10,000 last year. For instance, 8 maids a milking went up from $5.92 for an 8-hour day to $11 following a pay award to the agriculture workers.
Don't they
negotiations?
No, wait a minute.
Musicians union.
Now hold on, let me talk, will you? This is important. I want to know,
Joe,
do they have do they milk by hand or do they have one of those sucking machines?
This a hand job.
Oh.
That's them laughing. Little Tommy had a great laugh, didn't he?
Yes,
it's Christmas Day, you swine.
Well, there we go.
That was pretty mild compared to some things I've heard.
Well, there we go.
But that was classic. You know, it's kind of hard to top anything that Larry Lujack and Little Tommy do and did on WLS, but the fact
so
that they did that on Christmas Day.
We won't try.
It's classic. You're right. We won't try. But we do appreciate you listening. You've certainly been a great gift to us over the year and a half we've been doing these podcasts. And here we are up to episode 33. But we do appreciate it and hope you have a wonderful Christmas.
Absolutely.
And thank you for listening to episode 33 of Two Larrys and a Mic. If you like Two Larrys and a Mic, follow us wherever you download your podcast. Be sure to share this podcast with someone by just simply clicking the share button. There's a new episode every other week. We hope you'll join us next time for Two Larrys and a Mic. I'm Larry Doughty.
I'm Larry Bly.
And
he's still ringing those Christmas bells.
Mike.
With the kettle and everything. Anyway, Merry Christmas.
Thank you.